This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to NITP's For Your Benefit. Well, we're here this morning with a very timely topic, Guide to Healthcare Plans, and we have the author of Checkbook's Guide to Healthcare Plans, Walt Francis. Walt's a public policy author and consultant and booms off the mic. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. I'm really good. And Tammy, my friend Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP. How long have we worked together?
25 years.
25
88.
Years.
88. 88 from 2013, I think it's 25 years.
Knower of all things federal, Social Security, and the like. So this is going to be a great duo, and I'm going to learn a lot. But why don't we start off at the top? We talked about this before we decided to say whatever at the beginning of the show. Will Obamacare impact FEHB plans? This might be a whole hour, but I don't know that that's a
okay.
yes or no.
I want people to rest assured, okay? This is open season for federal employees and annuitants. By the way, today's the first day.
Yeah.
This is it.
Opening day.
November 11th. You got till December 9th to make your plan choices. You need to focus on your health situation and the plan you want to be in next year. Obamacare unfolds with many effects on the healthcare system, but so far the effects on the federal employees program have been minor and positive. For example, the ability of up to age 26 kids to stay on their parents' plan, that's been a plus for a lot of families.
Preventative care benefits?
Yeah, there have been some benefit improvements. The preventive health care benefits were already very good in the FHVP, but they've gotten more solid and completely free now. The other change I noticed this year in the plan, because I review the brochures for all the plans in the system, all 250. my eyes are still glazed over. A lot of the plans are improving their catastrophic benefits, okay, because some of them had okay benefits there. But that's the maximum amount you can pay out of pocket. But some of those amounts weren't set quite as low as they are in the state exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. So we've seen a lot of loopholes closed and so on. So all things considered, so far, the Affordable Care Act, federal government operates three health insurance exchanges, a couple for Medicare, but the big one is the Federal Employees Healthcare Exchange, been around for 50 years, and it's ticking like a clock.
Unless you're a member of Congress or their official staff.
Yeah, they're in a separate box.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So, Walt, I didn't do you justice here. How long have you been writing this?
Well, ever since Tammy and I were in knickers.
I'm
still
very
young. No, Checkbook's been doing its guide for 34 years. And so a third of a century, we've been giving advice on which health plans are the best deals.
So in other words, when you listen to Walt, it isn't somebody that says, yeah, I know this. You know this.
And you're building on experience year after year, which I think really develops the knowledge that you have and makes it very useful to everybody.
It does. And the only problem is I sometimes forget stuff I learned a couple of years ago. But there's always something new to learn, and there's also always something new and exciting happening in the program.
Okay, so what's new that we should know in general? I mean, I don't know that you can go into each plan, but
okay.
In general.
Well, probably the most important thing is what's not new, which is that you've got a month to make a plan choice that could save you and your family $2,000 or $3,000 bucks. Easy. Okay.
So
a year.
A year.
Yes, that's right.
We're looking at $100 to $200 a month.
It's not chicken feed in an era of no or almost no pay raises. Health insurance is one of the ways you can give yourself a pay raise. So that's what's not new. What is new is there are in the D.C. area, nationally, there are two new plans, and those two plus one in the D.C. metro area. So NALC, which is one of the union plans, and by the way, We rate the NALC high option very high this year. There's a twist they've added. There's a wellness benefit that carries, and you fill out a questionnaire, basically, and you get a substantial discount on your dental bills, okay? So letter carriers high option, which is one of the good buys of the program, but they've added a consumer-driven plan and a value plan. And there's a new HMO in Virginia, Anthem Healthkeepers, which is available to most of the Virginia suburbs. So there are now about 26 plans open to everybody in the D.C. metro area.
Is the new HMO an open access where you can go outside and still get some benefits, or is it strictly within?
No, it's strictly, good point. It's an IPO, so you can go out of network. Some of the HMOs, or point of service, I should have said, some of the HMOs let you go out of network. So,
okay, what's an HMO, just so the listeners can follow? I think I finally know.
Well, traditionally, it was a very distinct kind of plan, health maintenance organization, and the main feature has always been they have their panel of doctors, their network, and it often can be a very broad network, or in the case of Kaiser, it's actually physicians and other healthcare professionals who are employed by and through the plan, but it's still a large group of people. You know, you have lots of choice, even in Kaiser. So you have a fair, but relatively limited group of healthcare professionals, and that's in contrast to the fee-for-service PPO plans, which are like the Blue Cross and the GEHA and the letter carriers and the Foreign Service, APWU, there's a raft of them. And those plans also have a network, but it's typically a much bigger network. You know, for example, something like 90% of the hospitals in the country are in the network of almost all these plans.
And also with some HMOs, you have to get referrals to see specialists, and you have a primary care where the fee-for-service plan, you can see a specialist without necessarily
getting referral. Yeah, there's some major differences in the way they approach healthcare. Actually, the biggest difference of most importance to people, I think, is that the HMOs carry minimal paperwork, I mean, and minimal cost sharing.
And minimal out-of-pocket. You pay sometimes a pretty penny for the premium, but then everything's pretty well covered.
That's right. So it's very much, I'm going to let the health plan work behind my back and make sure all the things work right and easily for me with minimum muss or fuss. The fee-for-service plans, on the other hand, put more of the responsibility on you. And the extreme version of that are the high-deductible plans and consumer-driven plans where you have a big deductible and you have to pay it out of pocket first, okay? So you better think hard about your utilization. They give you a savings account or a reimbursable account that offsets most of that deductible. But if you use it up, you know, then you're really on your own. But then at a certain point, regular health insurance, they pay 90%. More or less, kicks in, as in all the other plans. And all these plans have good catastrophic protection against the worst.
So you can't make a terrible mistake. But like you said, and we say this every year, you can save literally $100 or $200 a month. But yet, why is it, do you think, that less than 5% of the people who are listening to this and government-wide actually do anything during open season?
I hope it's not only 5% of the listeners to this show.
Yeah, hopefully that's
100% of you ought to be.
Yes.
You mean,
yes.
Maybe you'll stay where you are, but you need to check it out.
At least look at it.
And pass the word.
But I think there are two things going on. One is there's a lot of inertia. You know, people are in a plan. They're happy with it. They don't realize there's something a lot better out there. And looking at health insurance plans is like having your teeth pulled. It's not pleasant. No one likes to look at health insurance. It's complicated. It's hard to understand. You know, and so people tend to put it off and not do it. And it's unfortunate because, as Tammy said, a couple hundred bucks a month, that's not chicken feed.
Especially with very little to no pay raises every year. This is one way to, you know, get some more cash coming every month in your family.
Right. So why don't we try to generate some calls? But we already have an email. Let's do the email and then we'll give out the phone number, and if people are home, you're going to get a few chances to be one-on-one with two of the best. You two.
Three.
I'm a tax guy.
Hey, there's taxes related to health plans, too.
All righty. So here's the question. Thank you so much for the open season radio shows. They're very informative. My question is, my husband, a retired Fed, and I are on Medicare Part A and B, with Blue Cross Blue Shield Standard for the supplemental. We understand that we can save money, yes, by opting for a more basic plan. Any recommendations on a company and the best plan for us? We have no expensive drugs.
They have a great bargain waiting for them, particularly, and this is particularly good for people with minimal or moderate drug costs. The GEHA standard option, okay, it's going to save you a couple of thousand bucks for a couple to be in that plan as compared to Blue Cross standard option. You get the same 100% coverage of doctor bills and of hospital bills, okay? The only part that neither plan helps you with are the drug bills. Blue Cross has a much better drug benefit than GEHA, but if your drug bills aren't high, you don't need that benefit. So I recommend strongly you consider switching to GEHA standard option. Hard to think of any reason why you shouldn't.
That's over a $200 a month difference just in premiums.
Right, and the benefits are the same. I mean, that's except for the drugs. But suppose your drug bills are higher. You have even other good options. National Association of Letter Carriers, high option.
Still $100 a month cheaper than Blue Cross.
Right.
Yeah.
Just before the APWU, consumer-driven, doesn't give you the wraparound deal, but it's a very good deal with Medicare. Before the show, we were talking about Foreign Service, and that's a restricted plan. People don't often think of it, but actually the Foreign Service plan, which we rate very highly in this circumstance, particularly if you have high drug bills, it is now open. Tammy brought the brochure. I should have thought of that. It's pretty much for anybody in the foreign affairs or defense community, which is probably
DOD
well over.
DOD is a huge audience. It probably doesn't right. even know they're eligible.
Half the federal government, including all the DOD civilians, okay, AID, Department of State, of course, and executive branch employees who were signed abroad and so on. That includes agricultural attachés and all kinds of people. But just think any DOD alone. You people are eligible for the Foreign Service Plan, and it can save you a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. How about, would this extend to intelligence agencies?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And they have another plan in the intelligence community called Compass Rose, which is another good one.
Yep.
Very good benefits. But with this question that came in this morning, keep in mind that she's talking about people with Medicare. And so why we're mentioning all of these plans is because once you turn 65, if you're retired, Medicare becomes your primary insurance. So many of the plans, as an incentive to get you to come in, will waive your normal deductibles, copayments, and coinsurance. So you're really just looking at, as Walt mentioned, prescription costs and premiums. And so that's the two big things you want to look at. That and maybe skilled nursing care if you should need to have, you know, a hip replacement or if you end up having some
serious... But Medicare is going to cover that, so it doesn't matter
some
if your
of it,
plan
yeah.
covers it.
That's right. That's right.
Well, great. Nice answer. I bet the emailer will be happy with the slice and dice of that. All righty. Now, we're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Here's your chance to get right at the best of the best. All righty. How much time would one devote to comparing the plans? I understand with your book, you can also access a computer program to compare the plans. How does
well,
that work?
Okay, it's not just a computer program. You'd simply go online to the web, World Wide Web, and you go to www.guidetohealthplans.org. And, you know, if you're lucky, your agency subscribes for you and you can use it for free. There's a nominal charge if you want to buy your own admission. But then you have... You know, it takes you about 5 minutes to fill out, answer a few questions like, you know, are you retired or not? Do you have Medicare or not? How old are you? How big's your family? Do you want to have us tell you whether or not your doctor is in the plan networks? And if you have a doctor you want to keep or doctors, you probably you start typing your name and it pops up and you can click it. And, you know, 5 minutes after you've started, you get a set of results in front of you that tell you which plans are the best buys for you, which plans your doctors are in, and how much money you can save in your circuit, you know, given your health, your family size, your ages, et cetera. And it's, you know, you're not having to run a program yourself. That's all I'm reacting to. Okay. You know, it's a very simple, hey, here's your personalized results.
Wow. Could I ask you a tangent question?
Sure.
This comes from me. I'm not a Fed, and I'm not going to be a retired Fed, nor is my wife. Could I go into that and just compare plans to say, you know, I got X, but maybe Y and Z is good for me if I was a Fed, but outside the Fed it might have the same? I'm not saying that's a battle-tested question.
You could do that with great caution, and it would work. It would actually work for some plans because a lot of the HMOs in particular have identical benefits in and out of the FEHVP or virtually identical. The problem is a lot of these union plans are available only to federal employees. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and
the pricing would be a lot different.
And the premiums won't be the same. So I would say this. We have this, there's actually a kind of, there's a book, there's text that goes with our numeric results, okay, and it's free online, okay, if you want, right at the home page, you can read, and we have chapters of advice on how to buy health insurance, how to think about it, what gotchas do you need to watch out for, and that advice is pretty good for almost everybody. You don't have to be a federal employee to benefit from a lot of that advice.
Okay, thanks. Sorry to
that's a good question.
Take off. I've only been listening to y'all for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. Well, plus there's listeners who might be federal employees, but their children and their families might not be, or their parents might not be. So everybody has questions to help their whole family.
Okay. 202-465-3080. For somebody that had an HMO or doesn't have an HMO or they're looking at going from something to or from, what attracts them to it and what would attract them from it?
It's great question and a very interesting set of results, I think. I think a lot depends on your personality type and your interests. I think people differ a lot. There are people who wouldn't dream of considering an HMO. The idea appalls them, okay? And there are other people. I have many friends who are lifelong members of the Kaiser plans, and they wouldn't dream of leaving that kind of plan. They love Kaiser. So a lot depends on, you know, whether you want to be more or less proactive in certain ways, okay? And, for example, in the HMO, you don't have to worry about picking a doctor out of the yellow pages, okay? The plan has done a lot of pre-selecting for you, okay, to make sure the doctors are competent, highly skilled, not just competent, highly skilled, you know, and so on. And they don't let bad actors be in their networks, okay? So there's a lot that way. Tammy and I mentioned, we were talking before, you may or may not have to get pre-permission to go right. See certain specialists. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's actually not that common anymore
right.
Because people
yeah,
don't
true.
Like that. But, you know, you have very inexpensive access. You know, you may pay $20 a visit to go see any doctor that's in the plan network.
Plus, if you don't want to schedule your social life around your doctor visit, some of the plans like Kaiser's one, it's all under one roof. So you can go there and go to your primary care. You can go to a specialist the same day, maybe get a lab test and fill your prescription without coming back for multiple visits. So a lot of people like the fact they're not wasting a lot of time making appointments and waiting around for appointments.
Yeah, so and no bills advantage. Come. You know,
right.
You know.
This is not a commercial for HMOs, but it is my question. I know Kaiser does it, and I think Aetna joined the club this year. But are there others within the FEHB community?
Oh yeah, no, Aetna's not new. They've been there quite a while. Yeah. We rate very highly the Kaiser standard option, especially. This is a high option. It's a little pricier. Aetna Open Access Basic, which we rate very highly. Care First, which is the Blue Cross of Maryland, but they're covering the metro area in D.C. They have a great HMO, very, very nice price, and it's a point of service, so you can go out of network, the thing Tammy and I were talking about earlier. So really, MDIPA, very broad, good dental benefits, okay? One of probably the very best dental benefits that's in the health insurance plan of any of these plans. There's a separate way to buy separate dental benefits, but that's a separate topic. But if you don't want to buy a separate dental policy, MDIPA is an obvious choice to consider. So, yeah, there are a lot of great buys among the HMOs, but, of course, there are great buys among all the other types of plans.
Okay, I just, you know, for the listeners.
Yeah, the one type of plan a lot of employees just can't wrap their minds around are the consumer-driven plans or the high-deductible plans. They just haven't figured out why that might be for them or what the advantages of that would be over just staying with the tried and true either PPO or HMO type plan.
Could we hit on that a little bit? Because that's the one I understand only because of the tax nature of it. But the high deductible plan, just almost people back off of it. High deductible means I'm going to have to pay more out of my pocket. But I'm going to hit that ball to you all. That's not the case.
This is for the people who are the exact opposite personality types as those who like HMOs. This is for people who want to be a little bit friskier, want to really control all their medical care choices. Okay, so you have a high deductible. Of course, they all give you a free annual physical. I mean, that's sort of the part that comes automatically now in all these plans. But you have a high deductible and you have a savings account. The savings account is money that goes in tax preferred, grows tax preferred, and when you take it out, it's tax preferred. It's your, if it's an HSA account in a high deductible plan, there's a close cousin called consumer driven. It's a little different. But in the high deductible plans, that money is in a personally owned by you account. The premium, most of which the government pays for that savings account. It's typically maybe $750 for a self only and $1,500 for a family. That's smaller than the deductible, which is probably $1,000, $2,000. But if you only have an annual physical and maybe just a few other visits or a couple of inexpensive generic drugs, that account can grow and grow and grow for the rest of your life.
Do that one more time, because I think people confuse it with flexible spending accounts. So this thing doesn't go away at the end of any particular time.
Right, that's the big difference.
And the amount you can contribute is much greater than the FSA for healthcare, because the amount you can put into the healthcare savings account that goes with a high deductible plan is over $3,000 a year if you're self-only, and over $6,000 a year if you're family. And if you're as old as I am, over 55, you get to do another $1,000. So for someone looking for a tax shelter, and like you said, Walt, who doesn't have major health problems, this is a way you can really sock away a lot of money for future use, because you don't have to use it this year or next year. You can use it when you're 85,
right,
or you can leave it to your kids.
And these plans actually, they work fine, though, for people with major health problems,
it does,
too.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not a good fit for someone that has high every year known expenses, like maybe diabetes, drugs that are very expensive. But let's say that you're healthy 3 years out of four, and the fourth year you get hit by a truck. Okay, you can choose to use your health savings account to pay for that $50,000 medical bill or not, or because it's accumulated. But basically, think of it, in that year, you might spend $2,000 of it to pay the deductible, leaving the balance of this ever-growing account intact. And then the plan's regular insurance kicks in. They're going to pay 90% typically. And then they have a catastrophic protection, the most you can be out of pocket in any year. And it's typically around $5,000 for an individual and $10,000 for a family.
And it covers everything. Like, some of the other ones don't cover everything under their catastrophic cap, but this one does. It'll talk about prescription copays and other copays that normally wouldn't count towards that cap. So I think it's something worth considering for more people than who think it is. Because I think a lot of people just discount it when they hear the name high deductible and they just shut down. But if you're looking for a tax shelter, low premiums, and a way to have a little more control over your health care expenses, I think they're worth looking at.
Who would not be inclined to do that? Is there a profile?
Someone who couldn't contribute to their HSA, or someone who's not permitted to have an HSA, because there are some people who can't contribute to a health savings account because they have TRICARE, they have Medicare, or they're covered under their spouse's non-federal plan. So you can't have any other health insurance besides the high deductible plan to make those contributions.
But you can join a consumer-driven health plan, even in those circumstances. And there the account, it's not nearly as good. It could be as much money. And it's a carryover. It grows year by year, but you have to stay in the same plan and you don't own the account. So if at some point you haven't spent the savings, and you leave the plan, it returns to the plan. Mm-hmm. But those plans, consumer driven, work very well for almost everybody, including people on Medicare, for example. They don't offer the same 100% wraparound deal that the other plans do, but Medicare's primary. So, for example, you may have a high deductible in those plans, and you go to the hospital, but Medicare is paying 100%.
Medicare is covering most of your expense,
So, you know, there are a variety of options. I guess the way to think about it, the FEHB is a menu. It's a smorgasbord of choices. And the choices both are among these types of plans we've been discussing, and also within each type among the plans that are in that group. So that, and given that you have a total in most parts of the country of at least 24 plans, and in the D.C. area, there's actually 33, 26 of which are open to everybody, and probably you're eligible for one of the others as well. You have a broad menu of choices, a lot of dishes to choose from, and there's something that's going to work best for you and your family. And it really doesn't matter whether you're in the group that loves HMOs or loves to manage your medical care to the nth degree, to squeeze every penny of savings you can, or where you are in between, there's something that works fine.
You, locally now, I don't know if you go outside the Beltway for the healthcare fairs, if you will. I had the pleasure of listening to you last week in Rockville, Maryland, and Walt came, and who was it, the Senator? Congressperson, Senator Van Hollen, and you were just on fire in front of that group. And actually, I saw some people that had come to the seminars. Aren't you the tax guy? And I go, yeah, but I'm learning today. You going to do those this year?
I'm doing a bunch this year. Chris Van Hollen has three coming up. He's got this, I'll call it, it's a gerrymandered congressional district. Covers, you know, the near in Montgomery County, Bethesda suburbs, all the way up to the Pennsylvania border. Uh-huh. Okay, it snakes around Baltimore. But anyway, so I'm going to do three with Congressman Van Hollen and Jerry Connolly, who's the close-in Northern Virginia congressman, does a big one every year. So those three or four or five, actually, you know, I don't know, there's a bunch, plus other radio shows and so on.
Where can people find the dates of those?
That's a good question. They're going to see them in the paper, but I will actually read them out loud briefly to you. But actually, what I would recommend you do is go to the congressman's website, okay? And they'll, because you want not just the date, but the
location,
and the time and all that.
And the two locally would be Van Hollen and Connolly.
Yeah. Those are the two that are so far sponsoring them this year. They always do it.
And these are great places for retirees to go because you don't have an agency you work for anymore that you can go to the health fair down in the basement. So this way, you can come out on a Saturday morning or whatever day it happens.
You get a little panel of experts. There'll be someone from NARF. I'll be there, and there'll be someone from OPM. Mm-hmm. And we'll answer any or all questions, either for employees or retirees, and the health plans are there. So it's like a health fair, as Tammy said. So it's a great place to come and either ask your question or if you're embarrassed a little bit, listen. Someone else will have the same question.
Will your books be available at those health fairs when they come out in print?
We will have them at some health fairs. Normally, we try not to sell at these places. Yeah. I mean, it's a Checkbook's nonprofit and we're a consumer organization. But it's a little awkward. What I try to do is give people, like I'm doing on the radio today, give people the answers they'd find if they went to our website or got our print version. That said, there's no question that when you have a little extra, when you get online, especially, or if you look at the print version, there's a ton of details we can't cover in a radio show or a brief forum or seminar.
Will the print version be out at the drugstores like they usually are at CVS?
Oh, yeah. It's a little the way to get it, actually. It is the easiest way to get it is just a telephone Checkbook, okay? I mean, it'll be available in bookstores and so on, but not at least for another week and maybe 2 weeks because there's it's hard to get timely into those venues. But you can call Checkbook 202-347-7283, and you can sign up and get a day or two later, you'll get your this year's print guide, or you could get the online version that way, or just go online and get either version.
The folks outside the Beltway that listen to this show, how would they, same 202 number, I'd imagine.
But also, it's not just inside the Beltway. I want to be clear. You know, we actually cover in rate plans for the whole country.
No, I know, but people listen to this and they go, well, I don't live in B.C. They might live in a government town of Denver, Chicago, New York. And, I mean, it's equally applicable.
Absolutely. One of the things we ask you when you go online is we ask, what's your zip code? And, we're not going to show you a list of plans you can't join. we're going to show you the plans that are open to you, and you'll see the Denver plans if you're in Colorado or wherever you go.
Yeah. What I like about the guide and is one of the things I use every year is I'll go to the section that's for me. Because, like in the book, I'm between 55 and 64, and we're a family of two, and you've got a page for us right there that ranks the HMOs and PPO plans in the DC area. It ranks the consumer driven high deductible plans. It ranks all the national plans. So I can look at that list at a glance and just see my total cost per year, whether I have high cost, low cost, or average cost based on my previous healthcare experience. But then once I look at that and I say, okay, well, based on this, you know, the cheapest plan for me is such and such, then what do I do? Then how do I say, well, just because it's the cheapest doesn't necessarily mean it's the one I want. So how else would I
decide? Very important. Whether or not you start with our advice or someone else's advice, One thing you've got to do before you make a final decision is read the – not you have to read the whole thing. Look at the brochure of the health plan you're thinking of joining or staying in if you're in a stay-in situation. You need to check out. There's a page in all – it's a standard format that OPM puts them on. There's information on the cover. There's summary information on all the plan benefits a couple of pages from the end. And early in the brochure, there's a page, how do we change for this year? Wow. Very important page. Yeah.
And the other thing we mentioned earlier, you mentioned about if you have a specific big expense, like what if you fill a lot of prescriptions every month? Well, look at that section of the brochure to see how that plan, if you are going to change plans, how do they cover the prescriptions that you use, or how do they typically cover prescriptions? Because some are going to mail order mainly service. Some are letting you still fill prescriptions at the local pharmacy. So that's something else you might want to look at if you have a pre-existing condition where you're receiving treatment.
Absolutely. Another example, let's say you're planning to have a baby next year.
We have a call right now.
Good. Great.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering whether either checkbook or the website Guide to Health Plans reviews dental plans. Do either one of those review dental plans?
We didn't even tell you to call, but what a wonderful segue, because Walt is lighting up.
Yeah. We're actually, Checkbook is the guidetohealthplans.org website. So, yeah, we do rate, we rate the plans themselves, because a lot of them have dental benefits in them, and we rate the standalone dental plans, okay?
Under FedVip.
They're so-called FedVip plans. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there are three new companies in the dental program this year and one new one in the vision program. So there's a, and they all have high and standard options. So there's a whole slew of dental offerings. And we find there's significant differences among them as to how well they handle cases where your dental expenses are low, average, or high. So mm-hmm. we try to do the same thing for dental that we do for the health insurance as such. And what I would recommend you do on dental, it's important for your health plan, but it's really important for dental plan. The big savings in those dental plans, offer you very big discounts on your less expensive things like your annual checkup, medium-sized discounts on medium-expensive things like having a tooth extraction or a filling, and they're typically only going to pay maybe half of the really expensive things like crowns or bridges. Well, but they also have negotiated a discount with a dentist. So if your dentist is in the network of a dental plan or plans, then you're going to get, and I'm back to my example of a crown. Let's say it's a $1,200 crown. The plan may have agreed with the dentist only to charge $800 for that crown, and then the plan pays half.
Okay. You're only paying
$400 out of pocket. So you're only paying $400 for that $1,200 crown.
But if you went to an out-of-network dentist, you might pay $600 because they're still only paying half, right?
Right. And some of them won't pay anything.
Great. I see. Okay. I have a quick other question, and that is that I'm under standard option with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they do not have a high deductible plan, do they? And do you know if they have any plans of establishing one?
I doubt that they do, because they're sitting so pretty. They're the biggest plan in the system. Uh-huh. But there are alternatives. If you like Blue Cross, by the way, standard option is one of the pricier plans. But the Blue Cross basic plan is
one. I meant basic. I'm definitely under the basic.
Okay, the lesser.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then you're in a good place already. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure I'd want to. But let me put it this way. You actually can come out even farther ahead than Blue Cross basic in some of the high deductible plans. Aetna is one of the companies that offers them, and they cover pretty much the whole country as well, including obviously this area. GEHA, high deductible, and MHBP, which is a mouthful of initials, but it's mail handlers. They have a high deductible plan. So you might want, and Coventry of Maryland offers a good one too. So you have three or four or five high deductible plans. Take a look at least one of them. Put it side by side with the Blue Cross plan. You can the brochures for those high deductible plans describe their benefits very well. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty easy to get up to speed.
Yep, and there's one in the D.C. area, Care First Blue Choice, which I think a lot of people confuse with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Oh.
And that's one that's kind of under that umbrella of the Blue Cross doctor. So you probably have the same network.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Great. And we have another caller on the line. Good morning.
Hi there. I have a tax question for Bob or Tammy.
See that? Bob is wanted today.
Finally. Thank you.
After listening to your program a few months ago on the voluntary contribution plan, I signed up and found out to my shock that I owed a civilian deposit from 1981. It was about $300, and over 32 years, it accumulated $700 in interest fees.
Right.
My question is that $700 tax deductible?
No. Because here's why. When you took the money out, you didn't pay any taxes on it. And when you put it back in, you don't get a deduction.
But the interest, he hasn't paid
taxes
on.
But the interest, no.
No.
Now, what will happen when it goes back in, let's say there's a dollar's worth of interest that's included in the total. It becomes part of your lifetime tax deduction from your annuity benefit. So when the money goes in there, it goes back in as a replacement for the money taken out, and the interest also goes in, but it's pretty unfair for you to put the interest in and not get a tax benefit, but the tax benefit gets spread out over that tax exclusion on your pension for life.
Well, they forced me to pay off the deposits, both the interest and the principal, before I could begin contributing to the voluntary contribution plan.
That's right. That's
true, but where that money goes, it goes into the pot. You definitely are CSRS or your CSRS offset.
Right. Yep.
So you have a significant amount of your pay that's come out of your entire career, correct?
7%.
Right.
7%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that 7%, forget this deposit right now, becomes a tax deduction spread out over IRS's perception of your lifetime. Let's say that that lifetime is 25 years. Let's just say that. So you divide the 25 into the total amount that's been withheld from you, and each year for 25 years you get a tax subtraction against your annuity. But now that amount that's been withheld from you is increased by this deposit and the interest on it, and that's how you get the tax benefit.
But the interest itself is not tax deductible.
Not,
because I used to get that question all the time with military deposits, because those guys and gals would owe a lot of interest and unfortunately could not deduct it from that year's tax return.
That's true, but it goes into that watered-down tax deduction.
Did you get over your lifetime?
did that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. All righty.
Back to health insurance.
Back to
open
insurance.
Season.
That's good,
right.
I got a tax question.
That's good, yeah. With open season coming up, are there different things that people should look at, whether they're single, married, over 65, under 65, those kind of demographics? Because I know when you ask questions to people to use the guide, you'll say, well, how old are you, and are you married, single, and how is that going to affect your choice?
All those variables affect your choices, and we actually rank plans separately for each of those groups precisely because, for example, a family pays typically a little more than double the premium for self only, okay? And the premium is a very big part of the cost of these plans, so it looms especially larger for families than it does for self-onlys. So all those factors matter, but some of them matter more and in particular circumstances. For example, whether or not you're 65, you have a Medicare decision to make at age 65, and that's a big decision. Mm-hmm. And it only affects those who are actually it's a decision you make forever after being age 65, because you can join Medicare late and pay a penalty. That's Medicare Part B, the doctor part. Or you can join it at 65 and then decide 5 years later or whatever to drop it. And that's okay, too. So you have, past age 65, a lifetime set of Medicare choices.
What a lot of people don't even know. They think, I meet people all the time who think when you turn 65 as a federal retiree, you have to go under Medicare, and that's not true.
Absolutely not. Well, Medicare Part A
is free.
Is free, so you want to join it.
Yeah.
Another point is, once you turn 65, if you're still working, you can postpone it. As long as you're still working, you don't have to join Part B. Well, you never
covered
have to join
by
it,
your health plan.
But,
right,
but there's no penalty for not joining it. And so you have a bunch of Medicare choices.
Lots of decisions.
I think there are other decisions that people have that may occur when you're young, but they may occur when you're middle-aged. And, for example, are you or are you not going to have a baby next year? These health plans all differ. They have, most of them have special coverage for maternity, and you'll pay nothing or close to nothing. But there's a lot, this interacts with other things. For example, I counseled a young couple a year or two ago who had been in a high deductible plan for a couple of years, and they just loved it. They were watching that health savings account grow year by year. They're very healthy. They said, well, next year we're going to have a baby. What do we do, Mr. Francis? And I said, and they were thinking, should we just use open season to switch to a health plan, have the baby under the health that health plan, and then come back to the high deductible plan? I said, you've got it exactly right. You have it figured. Join a plan for which you don't have to pay that high deductible the year you have the baby, okay? And then switch back the other way the year after that. Open season gives you a choice to time your plan choices based in part on your life events and things that you know about your healthcare status.
Right.
If you know you're going to have a really expensive procedure next year, then I recommend go find the specialist you're going to use for that procedure. Find out what health plan he or she is preferred in, and make sure that one of those plans is the one that you choose in open season.
Yeah, it's really helpful if you know ahead of time that something, like I had a guy in class who needed some type of really complicated back surgery. And of course, he could put it off until next year. So again, he wanted to find the best health plan that would cover that. And that's what he did. He switched to a plan that would give him the best coverage for what he needed. And then of course, open season comes, you want to switch to a different plan, you can. That's the nice thing about having all these choices.
All right, we're going to switch to another caller.
Yay.
Good morning.
Good morning. My husband is retired Foreign Service. We've been covered by Coventry for a number of years, but most doctors don't accept it. And it tends to come out rated the lowest.
The catch with Foreign Service plan, that the doctors don't take Coventry. Oh, boy. Because it looks like a great plan from the premiums and from the coverage, but like you just said, if the doctors aren't accepting it, then you've got to make maybe another choice, right?
Right.
Well, some do and some don't.
Yeah.
I mean, so
it's
here's
a big
one
network.
Of these cases.
Coventry
where,
is a big network, right?
Yeah, it's a big network. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's very, let's say there's a particular couple of doctors you're planning to use, you and your husband. Pick a plan in which those doctors are in the network. And if they're not in the Foreign Service network, then that's probably not a good choice for you. Though overall, we do rate it very highly.
Right.
In general, none of our doctors are essentially in the Coventry plan. And we value very highly the ability to select our own physicians.
Then you're a candidate to switch plans.
Yeah. Look at Cigna, which is Samba. You could look at Aetna, which is a huge network. So those would be two right off the bat that would be comparable in price.
What about United Healthcare?
A very broad network, and a lot of plans use it. Let me just, for everybody to understand, the health plan is the company that sponsors the health insurance. These health plans all use sometimes multiple networks of physicians, and they tend to be these nationally known networks like United or Aetna or Coventry, and of course Blue Cross has a huge network. So I would for sure consider any of the plans that use United. GEHA, for example, is an obvious choice for that. And APWU uses United. So there's two good, broad plans. We rate them about the same as Foreign Service for retired couples. You might make a further nuanced decision among them, say, based on prescription coverage and the particular drugs you use and how well they're covered. So you've got three or four real good choices to consider. But if your doctors are not in the plan network and you want to keep the doctors, then for heaven's sakes, that's why you have open season. Change plans.
Yeah. And the worst that'll happen, you're stuck with it for a year. And if you really find that you want to go back to where you were, you can still make a change next year. The other thing, too, is if you're over 65, not that this caller is, but if someone is over 65 and they make a big mistake, maybe that plan doesn't cover their prescriptions and they're spending $300 out of pocket every month. Once you're over 65, you have that one chance to switch health plans even when it's not open season. I call it your Medicare open season.
Right. That's a very important point. Mm-hmm. Everyone has this once a year open season. It's about a month long. Mm-hmm. But there are other life events that can, for example, if you get married.
Right. Divorced.
Divorced. If you're an HMO and you move to another part of the country and so on. And if you turn age 65. And there's some others.
There's like four pages of permissible events outside of open season. So, yeah, there are opportunities you can switch even when it's not open season.
By the way, one of the we touched on but haven't gone into detail on the decision whether or not to join Medicare Part B when you turn age 65, and you're paying two premiums instead of one. It's a lot of money for not much extra benefit. But one of the benefits of joining Medicare Part B is now you can go to the Part B participating physicians whether or not they're preferred in your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so Medicare broadens your choices. It's a great way to backstop your HMO, and it's a great way to, if you're in one of the national plans, it gives you this wraparound coverage, 100%. That covers you in or out of network.
And like with, for example, the Kaiser plan, if you join Medicare A and B, then you, for no extra charge, go under their Kaiser Medicare Advantage plan for federal employees. It's a specific plan that they have set up. So you get some additional reductions in your out-of-pocket expenses with them.
Do we have – are you still on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, I know who you are. This is a friend of mine, and we were talking last week, and she asked me some questions that were you were talking about. I said,
call
the show next week. You'll have the best of the best, because I don't, to be frank, feel confident in answering those type questions.
Did you have another question, caller?
Yes. Are we supposed to have picked up another? We are both over 65. Were we supposed to have picked up another portion of Medicare for prescriptions?
Not necessarily, because your federal plans will cover prescriptions, and I think doesn't the Foreign Service Plan cover that pretty well?
Yeah, it does. But how much over – do you have Medicare Parts A and B?
Are you in both parts of Medicare, A and B?
Hello, are you there?
Oh, we might have lost.
Okay, let's assume they don't. Let's say they didn't sign it for Medicare Part B. You still can elect to sign it for Medicare Part D, which is the prescription drug part. But normally you wouldn't need to do that or want to do that because your FHP plan is going to be at least as good and usually better than the Part D plans. But there are cases where if you, for example, suppose you do have Medicare Parts A and B, you switch to GEHA standard because why pay all that extra premium when the benefits are 100% either way for everything except drugs? In a case like that, you might, and then it turns out you have an expensive drug, you could join Part D and make that primary for your drug coverage. So things can get pretty complex, and you can be pretty frisky in your choices. But the basic simple question for most people is which federal plan do we pick next year?
Okay. Susan? Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Are you on? Good morning. No, nobody's on.
Okay. But she did make a good point that I thought is worth mentioning, and that is the fact that she said, I'm in the Foreign Service Plan, and we kept talking about Coventry. And Samba, we keep talking about Cigna. So what's kind of confuses the whole issue even more is that you look at the name of your health plan that's on the cover of the brochure, and that's not necessarily the name of the network.
No,
Aetna's an exception. Blue Cross is an exception because that is the network. But there are other plans that use Cigna, Coventry, United Healthcare, and that's not the name of the plan. So you got to look inside the brochure to find out the name of the network.
And they tell you the networks they use.
Yeah, they do. It's right inside. And when you talk to your doctors, if you say, I'm in the Foreign Service Plan, they might not know what that is. But if you say it has Coventry Network, then they say, oh, okay, now I know.
I see one line blinking. Do we have somebody on the line?
Hello.
Great. Hi.
Hi. I'm wondering if retirement is considered a life-changing event for the purposes of making choices after outside of the open season.
Retirement is a life-changing event for everybody, but unfortunately, it's not one of the permissible events for an open season, so no. The only exception would be is if you're going to retire, let's say, from Virginia and move to Florida, for instance, and you're in an HMO that only services Northern Virginia, then you would have an option to change plans, not necessarily because you're retiring, but because you're moving. So, unfortunately, retirement's not. So you want to choose your health plan during this open season if you're going to retire next year, thinking ahead of what you might want in the new area.
Would a retirement under disability be a life-changing event?
Not necessarily.
Don't think so.
Okay. No.
But, nothing. Retirement per se doesn't change your situation, doesn't change your health care situation.
I guess that's why it's not a permissible event.
Let's say you're going to retire at age 55 and it's next June or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing it does change, though, is you're currently pre-retirement, your share of the premiums is tax preferred. Okay, you don't pay that sticker. You think you're paying, say, $200 a month, but since you're sheltering $200 a month from taxes,
it's a lot less.
It's really a third less, at least.
Yeah.
Retirees don't get that deal. Okay.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the comparisons, which plan is likely to be better for you? I mean, if Blue Cross Basic is a good choice for you at age 54, it's not going to be a bad choice at age 55.
No, and the other difference, too, is if you're retiring past age 65, that's when Medicare goes from secondary payer to primary payer. which you can use the Medicare open season rather than, you know, the permissible event type of thing. So there are some exceptions, but in general, retirement is not an open season.
Okay, I think we've got another caller.
Thank you.
If we're done. No, we don't. Okay.
Man, this might set a record today. Keep calling.
202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. This show is broadcast a significant number of times after the next 3 minutes. Don't call after the next 3 minutes. We're Monday, November, what is
it? 11th. Veterans Day. By the way, did we even recognize our veterans today?
No, we did. Now I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Because that's a soft spot.
We've got an awful lot of them listening.
Let me just mention, TRICARE, okay? If you're active duty military, this is not for all veterans, but for those who've lifers, okay, you, of course, have TRICARE and TRICARE for Life as an option. The networks are limited, but the premiums are the right price.
They're free. Yeah, can't beat the premiums.
So you all, though, should not drop if you – let's say you're reemployed as a civilian – you're now as with the FHVP, you will probably prefer to stay in TRICARE, but suspend, don't drop your FEHVP.
Once you
coverage.
Retire, employees can't suspend FEHVP, so you can just not join the FEHVP. But if you, what I usually tell veterans who have TRICARE is the open season before you retire, jump into one of the federal health plans. I don't care, really care which one. And then as soon as you retire, if you're still going to continue just to use TRICARE, then you can suspend the FEHVP, but it's hanging there. So if something down the road changes with TRICARE, if you move into an area where the doctors don't take TRICARE, then you can cancel the suspension during an open season and re-enroll. So it's a nice little tool to have in your back pocket.
Right.
Okay. I see a line, but no, the lines are all unlit.
Oh, okay.
202-465-3080, but we're coming down to 2 minutes. So
call quick.
Final landing instructions or takeoff instructions?
Yeah, I would say the one message I want to leave with people is spend a half an hour thinking about health insurance, okay? You can get online. OPM has a great website, a really good federal exchange website, opm.gov/insure. The checkbook website at www.guidetohealthplans.org. In either place, you can download a copy of the brochure for any plan or all plans. You can search through the brochures electronically. I started to mention maternity earlier. You could search on the word maternity. In the brochure, it'll take you to the page where they describe their maternity benefit. Or if you're going to have surgery, you can get to that page, et cetera. Okay. So use these your online tools are for sure great tools.
What did we do without the internet?
I don't know how, you know.
It makes it so much easier.
It's sure a good thing that Al Gore invented it, I guess.
Okay, that's very good. This is a great show. I'm going to mention it in class.
Sure. Yeah, because we get a lot of open season questions this time of year. So that's why we kind of like to talk about health benefits along with retirement planning, because they go hand in hand. Retirees have needs for health care just like everybody else.
Okay. And we're going to bring it down to a slow landing, maybe an early one. Next week we have Kaiser on. We did talk about Kaiser a fair amount, but they'll be on next week.
And John Patrick,
and usually they bring a doc and sometimes another person. But that's a lively show like today. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Happy Veterans Day.